Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hello, everyone. I'm Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In today's episode, I spoke with Bill Coletti, CEO and founder of KITH, a firm serving organizations in communication crises and reputation management. Bill and I discussed how working with healthcare leaders during a crisis has changed since the COVID-19 pandemic, how leaders in the C-suite can be prepared for a crisis, and what to do in the journey post-crisis. Well, hello, Bill. How you doing today?
I'm doing terrific, Brianna. I look forward to a great conversation.
As do I. Thank you. So first, can you just tell myself and our listeners of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast what it is that you do and what the mission of KITH is?
So our mission is to serve organizations and individuals when they find themselves in crisis and helping their reputations recover for the long term. We really believe in reputational resiliency, not just solving for the immediate problem. So it's ironic from a healthcare context, a little bit more family doctor and a little bit less emergency room guy.
Right. And you are the CEO, correct?
CEO of KITH. Yep. Crisis Communications and Reputation Management. Exactly.
Wonderful. How long have you been with the company?
So I started the firm about 6 years ago. I was the global practice leader for a larger public relations firm called Hill & Knowlton, and I ran their global crisis communications and risk practice and figured there was a better way to do reputation management in crisis that's a little bit smaller and a little bit more intimate, focusing on some core industries.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, you did say you work with, you know, a range of companies in who deal with crisis, but in particular, today we're talking about healthcare. So Can you just share, I guess, maybe your experience in working with healthcare professionals or leaders, prior to COVID, and maybe, just how that's different now, how you're working with them now during COVID?
Yeah, COVID has changed a ton. We'd all sort of thought that social media changed the way we did media relations and communications dramatically, but COVID has dramatically accelerated that. We do a lot of work primarily for hospital systems, focused really on the way they communicate out to the public, all the stakeholders that matter most to them, whether it be their employees, their physicians, the community at large, because as we all know, the hospitals and hospital systems in their communities, are more than places you go just when you get sick. They're really sort of icons in the community. And so we really, when there is a crisis issue or is there some sort of misalignment around strategy and public expectation, that's when we work with organizations to make sure that they are sort of expanding their reputation, but more importantly, just explaining their story so that the negativity doesn't overwhelm the positivity of all the things that they do.
Okay, great. Thank you. So now when you're saying, so it's more of like, again, you saying you're focused on more like the reputation of that organization. So I guess in terms of like crises. So I guess maybe just if you can give me an example of.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've done some work for hospital systems where they had a doctor that was doing bad practice procedures related to stents. They were doing bad stents and bad procedures. Well, we had another situation, just like any other corporation, where we had to deal with sexual harassment in the C-suite. So issues related to that. We've had other issues related to furloughs where folks have had to be laid off or some sort of reduction in force, the change of the talent. We've also dealt with issues where they've had to close a facility and then open a facility in a different part of town. There's a lot of issues around certificate of need, and that's not applicable for everybody across the country, but in some states we still have that CON process. So all those issues, and fundamentally, it's the way I define crisis, is that every organization, healthcare is no different, any organization, they have a strategy. They have a goal and plans and objectives that they want to accomplish in a year or a quarter. A crisis is anything that deviates you from your ability to execute your strategy. And so there are normal business events that happen. Hospital systems getting sued is nothing new. That happens all the time.
Right.
Those are just normal business issues. Mm-hmm. There are some of those that actually deviate you away from your ability to execute your strategy. And when there's that misalignment between the public, that's when it becomes reputational impacting. So we believe that all reputation is really sort of born out of what people think about you over the long term. And so think about your neighbors, think about anybody you've worked with. It's a relationship that you've built over time. And so hospital systems, or anybody that does provider work, they've had a reputation that gets built over time. And what you want to make sure that you do is that if and when these crisis events happen, or these negative events, is that you've built up this reservoir of goodwill so that people say, oh, well, that's not the system I know. You get the benefit of the doubt. And so it's one thing to run around putting Band-Aids, emergency room physician, managing a crisis. It's another thing to really think about longevity and reputational resilience. So we do a good job as emergency room folks putting Band-Aids on situations, but we also do excellent work over the long term, which is more like a family doctor, sort of treating you for the rest of your life.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Now, this may be a bit repetitive, but maybe if you can share as to now or some examples of how you're working through crises with healthcare leaders in this point in time.
Yeah. So the big learning that everybody's had, and healthcare is not immune to this, is that we have all become communicators, is that the notion of ABC, always be communicating, is never more important than it is now. And whether you are a departmental leader or you're in the C-suite, which is your audience, is that the ability to tell your story, explain the unexplainable, which was certainly the case early days of COVID. We didn't know how long we were going to be here, right, or what we were going to do, is that the ability to communicate and explain COVID. We've now started to see in some healthcare systems the long tail issues that require reduction in force, long tail issues related to around diversity, long tail issues around equity of care. Those issues in particular are the ones we're working with clients on now. Early on, it was, what the heck do we say and how do we say it? It was right. basic triage medicine at the outset. That really forced a lot of system leaders, either hospital leaders or system leaders, to be front of the stage more than they had typically been, and doing it with less precision than they had previously, because we just didn't know how long the ER was going to be on limited access, or how long you weren't going to be able to go visit grandma in the hospital, or how long were your office employees to have to work from home. And so everybody's gotten really attuned to the needs of great communications.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, you mentioned in something you sent to me yesterday about our conversation, you mentioned, you know, how you're getting these organizations kind of ready for their journey after this crisis, or how to handle situations after. So I guess, can you share maybe how some of these organizations?
So we really believe in this notion of forward learning. You know, how can we take what's happened in the past, learn from it for what our future is going to look like? So we do a lot of scenario-based simulations where we work with hospital systems, and we will actually recreate, using our imagination of what the future might look like, recreate crisis or reputational impacting scenarios that will then test the organizational systems of the system, or actually the messaging and the mission and values, because a lot of these things in COVID has really sort of tested, what do we stand for? You know, what's bedrock for us? And we've gotten in conflict with boards of directors. Boards of directors have disagreed with the directions of systems. And then you add in a political component for public hospitals that makes it very, very challenging. And so we do a couple of different simulation training exercises where we will sit with leadership teams, could be boards of directors as well, but sit with leadership team and actually simulate a scenario and work through it, identify the gaps that need to be corrected, and then just sort of find out organizationally, you know, where they excel and where they need to do a little bit of work. No one envisioned doing that for a pandemic in 2019 or the early 2020, but now everybody's thinking about it. And the key for us is that getting good at something in the past is one thing, mm-hmm. but future learning, how can we learn from this situation that makes us more resilient for the future? So that's what we're focusing on in simulations for healthcare systems.
Got it. Thank you. Now, I guess opposite of that, now, how can people be ready for something like this? I mean, what do you recommend for, you know, healthcare leaders, mm-hmm. maybe who aren't, you know, at least working with your organization, but, you sure. know, what do you recommend for some of these healthcare leaders
to prevent? Yeah, so absolutely. So there's a couple things you can do, and there's two ways to look at it. So let's just talk about crisis, and then we'll talk about reputation. So from a crisis context, having done this for about 25 years now, the key differentiator between good and great crisis response mm-hmm. is speed. Those that can get a message into the marketplace quickly and efficiently, those are the ones that typically do well. But it's not speed for its own right. The speed is actually, it's an equation. So it is speed equals the sum of your mission and values plus your chain of command. All right. And so think about it. Things that folks that read in your publications or things that you read about in the newspaper that impact healthcare systems is that there were a lot of people that made a lot of decisions to create the problem. And there are a lot of people that made a lot of decisions in order to try to communicate the problem. Understanding how to be fast is the key differentiator. So what do you stand for? So many in healthcare are crystal clear on where they stand. Who makes the decisions? Who's the chain of command? Is the general counsel involved? Is the chief of surgery involved? Does the mayor need to be involved if you're a public institution? And so figuring all of that out in a crisis context, that's the single best thing that people can do. Think about that. And it's a simple exercise. You don't need me and you don't need to do a large crisis simulation. So what I recommend is to all leaders and folks that are listening to this is pull out your local newspaper, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, look at a headline and say, if that had happened to us, how would we respond? It's a simple crisis simulation. How would we respond to it? Right. The way we think about reputation also has this interesting in a relation to healthcare. And so when I go see my cardiologist or my internist, someone as someone in their 50s, you know, they're probably going to say, Bill, I can make you resilient with diet and exercise. You know, you need to eat a little bit fewer French fries and go for a walk a little bit more, and I can make you more resilient. There are also obviously other solutions that they have. Mm-hmm. Similarly, the way people can have fewer crises is the same context. Is one, you can make sure your team is ready, that I'm ready to respond. We talked about leaders, we're being forced to be communicators. Do we have people that are trained to go on camera? Do we have people that are ready to respond at a moment's notice? That's all around crisis readiness, which is similar to sort of diet. And then you have this notion of exercise, which is what we call risk acuity. How can we do a good job of understanding the risks that can impact our organization? And most hospital systems, almost every hospital system I know of, has some sort of risk organization. Somebody in the organization has the title with the word risk in it. Mm-hmm. Is that how do we take that, but think about it less from an insurance context, because most everybody that does risk management is trying to mitigate sort of threats related to injury or something around insurance, but how do we think it about reputation? So if we improve our crisis readiness and we improve our risk acuity, just like diet and exercise, that then creates reputational resilience in organizations. And we work with companies to really unpack that at a really deep level so that they can be both ready and aware in order to mitigate and have fewer crises, because that's a lot better than calling me, just like you know, and everybody that listens to you knows, it is a lot better and a lot cheaper to go to your family doctor than it is to go to the emergency room. And if we can do that in a crisis context, we're all a lot better off.
Wonderful. Thank you. And that's actually all I had for you. I feel like we did cover a lot, but I did. I mean, if there's anything more on at least reputation resiliency that you think I didn't cover, or that you didn't cover that you'd want to share more, or anything else in general about your organization, and just, you know.
Yeah, great. I mean, the one thing I think that folks need to be thinking about when they think about reputation is, it's one of those topics in the corporate world that's a little bit soft. Nobody really knows exactly what we're talking about. And so if I've listened to some of your podcasts, and you're talking about things that are like easily quantifiable, and most things in corporation and most things in healthcare are quantification. And healthcare is brilliant at quantifying things. You know, how can you, if you can count it, you can manage it.
Right.
Reputation can be counted, and it's a whole nother conversation, but the challenge is that reputation can be managed. It can be managed thoughtfully, and there are very tangible benefits to having a good reputation. I talked about, you get the benefit of the doubt. You know, you got lots of people doing lots of things in hospitals, and something's going to go wrong, and you want to get the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to people to say, well, that's not the guys I know. That's not the system that I know. So that's one of the things that we're really focused on is that, how do we get and quantify the benefit of the doubt? And so that's where we have a subsequent conversation. We talk about actually how you can count it the same way you can count on anything else that you count in a hospital.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate your time. And hopefully, we can talk more and maybe continue this conversation further on.
Happy to do it. Look forward to do it. Healthcare has got tons of needs, and thank you for what you guys do. It's great stuff.
Always. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.